Hi, everybody. Welcome to this UK Monday night All Addictions meeting. Our speaker tonight is Kylie, speaking on the topic of the doctor's opinion. And take it away, Kylie.
Hey everybody, so happy to be here. Thank you. I'm Kylie. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and I am a drug addict and an alcoholic. And it's always so good to be with people that I don't know that I know. You know what I mean? Like, I know that I get all of you, and I don't know anything about any of you. So that's the gift of this program. I love this book. I was so happy when they asked me to speak on this topic. It was like 4 months ago, and they asked me to. You guys are like plan ahead people. It's my favorite part of the big book. I love it so much. And I love it so much because it gave me more freedom than any other part of the book. And I'll explain that in just a minute. So first, let's just talk about who the doctor is. The doctor is Dr. Silkworth. We know that he probably is a big part of the reason why our fellowship got respect, because the first thing in the big book after the preface and the forewords is a letter from a medical doctor basically saying that we don't know how to help. Read this book, do this instead. Dr. Silkworth, I have been told he treated like 20,000 alcoholics or something like that. I don't know if that's true, but he had about a 2% success rate. So he was the foremost treater of alcoholism. He does mention addiction, he calls it alcoholic addiction. So I think mostly he's working with alcoholics, but people weren't really talking about drug addiction back then quite as much. But anyways, he apparently treated 20,000 with a 2% success rate, and he was one of the top doctors for alcoholism in the country. And he wrote this letter to basically say, "We don't know what works. This seems to work. Please get people that you know that are suffering and struggling with addiction to do this instead of whatever else they're doing." So that's super powerful. Now, before I came into the Big Book Awakening, which was just about 6 years ago, I was in other fellowships, and I love those other fellowships. I mean, no disrespect. I just didn't get recovered there, but I did get other things out of it, and other people got recovered. It just didn't work for me. And one of the reasons was because they told me that I could never use again, but they didn't tell me why. So I never really knew. It was like telling a drug addict, you can't do it ever again. What is a drug addict going to want to do? They're going to want to do it again, right? And our blue book, the workbook that we use for the Big Book Awakening, says in the beginning of the workbook, it says if we don't understand the problem, then the solution doesn't work. So, like, I didn't understand my problem. My problem is threefold. It's the spiritual malady, the mental obsession, and the physical allergy. And the doctor's opinion is where we get introduced to this idea of the physical allergy, which is really cool. So when I did get to the Big Book Awakening and I read this chapter, this was the second assignment in the workbook. We went through it line by line. And I love how we do that here. We go through the book line by line with somebody who understands the book better than we do so that we don't miss anything. The first time I tried to read the big book, I went to another fellowship because I tried to read it on my own and I was like, what? This makes absolutely no sense. I saw a chapter called To the Wives and I was like, I'm out. Like, I don't understand any of this. This is ridiculous. But it's so cool that we go through it line by line with somebody who has more experience and who has had an experience with the work. And that's what we talk about a lot. Like, we're not just reading a book to read a book. We're reading a book to have an experience so that we can get recovered and we can pass that experience off to other people. That's what we're doing here. And so I got to have that experience. And what I learned was what the problem was. I actually learned what my problem was when I did that. And in the doctor's opinion, it really introduced me to this idea that I have a physical difference than other people, and these other people being normal, moderate, or heavy, hard drinkers, or even people that just don't drink at all. I have a physical difference from them, and there's something going on in my body that registers alcohol and drugs differently. Now, back in that day, my sponsor is a doctor, so she knows a lot about like what doctors are saying about alcoholism these days and addiction. And in the days of Dr. Silkworth, they were thinking that maybe it had something to do with like digestion. Like, we had different stomach enzymes, and so we processed alcohol differently. Now modern science is pointing more towards a brain, like a brain difference, like with the dopamine reward circuits in our brains. That's kind of like the latest thinking about addiction and the physical allergy. The book doesn't speak to that because back then they just really didn't know what it was, but there is a really good chance that my brain is just reacting really differently. And what I love about the doctor's opinion more than anything else is that it is so clear that this will never, ever, ever change. Like I can be recovered because I can stop drinking and using, and I can not ever get the desire to use or drink again. Or if it comes fleetingly, it passes really fast. That's what being recovered means to me today. But I can never change the fact that I have a physical response to alcohol and drugs that means that when I put it in my body, I can't stop. And I have no control over the amount I take in. It's just not going to stop. I can't stop. And I know some people here are more in the chaos creation and emotional side of things. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter if it's like picking a fight with somebody to get the adrenaline spike. If I start doing it, I'm going all the way for it, right? It's like, it's just like, there's nothing that I could teach myself or no amount of self-knowledge or nothing that I could read or nothing that I could do that's going to change that. And when I really learned nothing is ever going to be different, I got the greatest relief from that than anything else in this program or anything else in this book, because it gave me peace. Because all these years, like I was using and drinking for 20 years, and all those years, I just kept trying to figure out like how to make it different, how to learn how to use and drink without consequences, and how to control the amount that I started and stopped, and like how to be moderate. After I was in recovery for about a year and a half in a different fellowship, I got mad at some people. I got resentments in the group, and I hadn't been given the tools to deal with resentments like we are in the Big Book Awakening. And so it caused me to leave. And one of the things that I decided to do was prove everything I learned wrong. And I was like, I am going to be somebody who can use moderately or even just like heavily, but not addictively. And so I went on a path to prove that I could moderate, and that lasted 10 years. And I was like drinking and doing drugs at 10 o'clock in the morning. First, it was like not until work is done. And then it's like, okay, not till 2. Then it's like not till 10. And then it's like, as soon as you wake up, it's okay. I got into a very abusive relationship for 6 years. My life just went into the toilet, and that was me moderating. And so when I finally understood that, like, it's not because there's something mentally wrong with me, really, and it's not because I'm not accomplished in other areas and have willpower in other areas, it's because I have weakness in this area of my physical body, and there's nothing I can do to stop it. So my last relapse that I had about 6 years ago, I really saw that play out before it was explained to me. One of the reasons that I decided to go to a BBA meeting that night was because I saw myself doing the drugs and not being able to stop and lying to everybody and having a personality change and just like changing so fast and becoming who I wasn't and all of these things happening. And that happened, and it was so uncomfortable and it was so awful. And I just knew to myself, like, something is different and I can never stop once I start. And then it was explained to me. And when it was explained to me, I can't even tell you how much peace came into my life because of knowing nothing I could do would ever change it. And I surrendered, and I had the deepest surrender in my life. And I have not wanted to do drugs or drink since then. And I've had moments, like I've definitely had moments of thinking like, oh, maybe I could do it again. But I always come back to this doctor's opinion, and it always just really makes a lot of sense. So in the first part of his letter, there's so much material in here, and I won't even be able to get through half of it probably. But in the first part of the letter that he writes, he talks about Bill as a competent businessman, but a hopeless alcoholic. And I really appreciate that, because most of us are so competent in so many life areas, but we have this physical allergy and we can't beat it no matter how much we try. He talks about that further on in the doctor's opinion too, where they're talking about how we may have a certain appointment to be at, or we may have an important business matter to deal with. And if we take one drink before that, we are not going to show up for it. And like the common thought at that time was, there's something wrong morally with these people. Like, look at what they're doing. There's something morally wrong with them. There's something mentally wrong with them. Look what they do. They have an opportunity to make all this money and they don't show up, or they have, you know, this happens now. I don't know if this was happening then, but they have to go to court to get custody of their kids and they don't show up, or they have to, you know, drop a bill off at the office and they don't make it. My friend Jan, he says this all the time in meetings, and since we record them, I can repeat it, but he always tells a story about how his mom wanted to buy him a car, and he was supposed to meet his mom on Monday morning to get the car, and he started using on Friday, and he, by Monday, he wasn't done. He was still using from Friday night on Monday, and so he never showed up to get his car. And don't we all do that in one way or another? We have somebody that wants to buy us a car, and we can't make it because we've started, and because we've started, we can't stop. And that happens so often. You know, it says, this quote is in the book that I really love. It said, "It didn't satisfy us to be told that we could control our drinking just because we were maladjusted to life, that we were in full flight from reality, or were outright mental defectives. These things were true to some extent, in fact, to a considerable extent with some of us, but we were sure our bodies were sickened as well. In our belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete." And that is why when Dr. Silkworth was talking about how Bill being a competent businessman but a hopeless alcoholic is so important, because how many things are you good at in your life? Like, I run a business. I'm pretty good at it. I do really well with it. I get my work done and I grow the company, and I'm good. Like, I'm a good team builder and I'm good with the other people on our team, and I have some success in my career. I have a great relationship with my family. I have all these things going for me that I excel at, but in the alcoholic addiction department, I'm totally screwed. Like, I can't use my competency in other areas to make up for the fact that when I take a drink or do a drug, I will take myself to the cleaners. I will not stop until it's gone, or until I die, or until I get arrested, or whatever it is. Now, for me, luckily, my story doesn't involve getting arrested or going to rehab or any of those things, although I think if they had happened, I might have stopped a lot sooner. However, it's not the consequences of our alcoholism and addiction that make us alcoholics and addicts. It's the physical allergy, the mental obsession, and the spiritual malady. That's it. And there's a lot of people in the meetings that'll say, like, "Oh, if you got a DUI, you belong here." And I don't believe that. I didn't get a single DUI and I belong here. And sometimes people get a DUI and come and they're just moderate drinkers who just drank too much one night and ran a stop sign or, you know, hit a car or whatever, but they're not real alcoholics. So he talks about this sort of mental defectiveness and how this is true to some extent, but our bodies are sickened as well. In our belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out the physical factor is incomplete. And this is why the psychological approach alone doesn't work. I don't know about all of you, what you tried before you got here. I know with addicts and alcoholics, there's some kind of prideful irritation with having to come to 12-step recovery. There's a lot of resistance for a lot of people in the beginning. They don't want to be here. They don't want to do all this. And I have sponsees who don't want to do all this and they don't make it. They relapse over and over and over again because they dig in their heels and they don't want this to be the solution for them. But I have tried a lot of other psychological approaches. So I've tried therapy. I tried to treat the mind while not understanding what was happening with the body, and that doesn't work. I did decades of therapy. I did all sorts of self-help. I did spiritual retreats, books, workshops. Nothing had my answer until I discovered the three-part nature of this disease. And this part of the book talks about that first one. I've been told, this isn't like super important, but I think it's kind of interesting. I've been told that the reason they put the doctor's opinion first in the book and did the physical allergy first in the book is because more alcoholics could relate to that than relating to like the spiritual malady. You get someone off the streets who's like having the shakes and you tell them you have something spiritually wrong with you, and they're probably going to leave. So there's like this identification with, does this happen to you every time you drink and use? Can you not control the amount that you drink and use? And there's a difference between someone who can and who can't. And that is what makes me an alcoholic. So nothing that I try to do with my mind is going to help the physical aspect of this disease. The mental obsession is totally different. And even the mental obsession doesn't respond to the typical psychological approach. We have to work the steps, which are spiritual in nature. So we're learning here in these first several parts of the book that we have a physical, mental, and spiritual disease, and we need a spiritual solution to take care of all of it. So he also says, this is such a powerful sentence. "These allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And what I love about the Big Book Awakening is that we don't have to take these statements at face value. We get to turn them into questions. So I get to ask myself, can I use safely? Can I drink safely? What did I try to be able to do that? There's a whole section in our book that talks about, like, what did you try? Did you try switching from scotch to brandy? Did you try drinking only organic wines? I tried everything.
5 minutes remaining.
Awesome. Thank you. I literally tried everything, everything. And nothing worked for me until I came into this program and followed the three-part solution. Then working the steps, passing it on, and going to meetings. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm going to meetings, I'm passing it on, and I'm working this is working the 12th step in some ways, you know. So I'm doing all three of the parts of the program by being here, and so are you by showing up and if you share. So this is one of my favorite parts of the entire book where it says, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The message which can interest and hold these alcoholic people must have depth and weight. In nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. So frothy emotional appeal is like my mom saying, please don't drink, you're hurting me. Or my doctor saying, if you keep doing drugs, you're going to have a heart attack. That's frothy emotional appeal. It never works for any of us. We can't quit because of the nature of our disease. We can't stop for other people. We just, even my sponsor even said she loves her kid more than anything in this world. And she could never even stop using for her own kid that she birthed out of her own body that she loves more than anything in this world, because the power of the disease is too strong for that. So this is where it starts to introduce the spiritual solution. It talks about their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate the lives. So this is about a psychic change. He talks about the psychic change. He talks about going on sprees, emerging remorseful, promising to never let it happen again. This happens over and over unless there is a psychic change. But once this occurs, the person who seems doomed suddenly finds himself controlling his desire for alcohol. So what is the psychic change? The psychic change is really going from somebody who cannot stop drinking and using and destroys everything in their path and is a very, very spiritually sick person to somebody who wants to work a fourth step, wants to take people through step four, wants to make amends, wants to pass the message on. We have a psychic change through doing these steps. And he even goes at the end of the doctor's opinion, he even goes on to talk about two different men that he saw that he knew when they were massively alcoholic and when they were like deep, deep in their alcoholism and how nervous they were and how crazy they were and how unwell they were. And then he says that he sees them later and one of them is as fine a specimen of a man as he could have ever imagined. And that is because those people had the psychic change. We also see in More About Alcoholism for alcoholics who don't have the psychic change and they end up in hospitals and they die. And the book gives us the instructions, excuse me, on how to have the psychic change. We do the steps. We do service. We pass this on to other people. And over time, we become people who are safe and protected from alcohol. Our relationship becomes neutral. We can walk into a room where people are using and drinking and not want to do it. That's happened for me many, many times since I've been sober. Don't recommend it necessarily, especially for new people, but I did get the promises in the book, which show me that I can swim with sharks and not bleed. I don't do it unless it absolutely happens and it's necessary, but that's a freedom that nothing else but this book could have ever given me. And it just shows through the transformation of those two men that this program works. He also says in the beginning of the doctor's opinion that Bill Wilson has recovered and about 100 of other people have recovered. And no matter what the doctors do, try, think, feel, or say, the AA message is working more strongly than anything they've ever done in their treatment facilities. Now he ends He ends his letter with, I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book through, and though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. Again, it goes back to what I think a lot of us feel when we first come in. We don't want to do this. People are talking crazy talk. What are they talking about? What are they saying? Why are they saying God? Why are they talking about these steps? Why do they say I have to go to meetings? And there's so much resistance there. But then he says, and they remain to pray. And I love all the people, all the women I've sponsored, and all the people that I've seen come in, did come in a little bit kicking and screaming. And now they are praying, and they do have a relationship with God, and they have had the psychic change, and they are passing this program on to other people. And that's basically the last sentence that you see in the doctor's opinion. And I think it really shows a lot of hope that he ends with those two stories of people that are fully recovered. And he's showing us the way to fully recover too. So I really love this part of the book. It gave me more freedom than anything in my entire life, just to really understand that once I start, I can't stop and it will never change. And it gave me the desire to do the rest of the program and to work the steps and to pass them on. And that's what I do every day in my life. This is what my life is about. It's given me the greatest life I could have ever imagined. It's a lot more of a humble and a lot more of a normal life than I could have imagined in my grandiosity of addiction and using. But it's a life that I would never trade for anything. So thank you for having me come to your meeting. I love this topic, and I look forward to hearing what the rest of you have to say about it.